Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And this week, Judo Larry, want to talk about some things going on. Very weird occurrences going on this past week, don't you agree?
A lot of things that aren't necessarily political.
Right.
But a lot of interesting, weird things.
Let's ditch most of the political stuff for this week.
Okay.
But before we get to it, because we said we want to talk weird... And what's weirder than pimping?
There you go.
So let's start off by saying thatriotshow.com is where you can find everything that has to do with the show, past episodes, the current episode, show synopsis. Go to thatriotshow.com. You could also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Spreaker, Podomatic, basically everywhere great podcasts can be found. Also, go ahead and check us out on Facebook.com. There's the address, facebook.com/thatriotshow. You can also find us on our favorite instrument of trolling, Twitter. Go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. Basically, if someone is producing some sort of entertainment, Larry, somewhere, just search for That Riot Show, and chances are you'll find something about us.
Yeah, we're pretty much on everything.
There you go. All right. So I don't know, Larry, let's talk about something. Let's start off with... what I consider to be an act of savagery, and believe it or not, has nothing to do with Muslims this week.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Maybe that idiot Dean Abadala is finally right about something. But in Waco, Texas, at a what I assume can only be a Hooters knockoff called Twin Peaks.
Well, this is based on the old TV show.
Right. More than likely based on big titties.
Okay.
You see? It's an allusion to tits.
Oh, okay. Twin Peaks. I get it.
Due in Montagna di Milano. Whatever. Anyway. So apparently there was this franchise setting, Twin Peaks Restaurant in Waco, Texas. Every week, every Thursday, I think, they hold a biker's night.
Yeah.
Where they invite some of the MCs in the area to come by, enjoy a couple of beers or whatever. And in doing some research, I will say one thing. This is the first time this happened. Some weird gang warfare taking place between motorcycle clubs, motorcycle gangs. I don't know why I'm calling them clubs. Gangs.
Yeah.
The two most prominent ones being the Bastardos, was it?
No, the Bandidos.
I'm sorry, the Bandidos.
Who are allegedly the biggest in Texas.
And the Cossacks.
The Cossacks. Which reminds me of Chekhov. From the
Yes. Who don't know enough to spell it properly with a K, they spell it with a C.
They spell it with a C.
The Cossacks.
Yeah.
But apparently what happened was they got together at this place, and there was some violence going down,
well,
right?
They didn't get together. Specifically, what happened was, apparently it was the Cossacks' night to hang out at this stupid bar. And apparently what happened is, if you ever look at the cut, in the vest that they wear, they have something called the bottom rocker.
Right.
That kind of curvy, it comes from like a rocking chair.
It tells you where you're from, right?
Right, it tells you where you're from. And, you know, if you're from Texas, like these gangs are, you would have Texas on it. But apparently, you're not supposed to do that unless you're really big enough and you can carry it. And apparently, the Cossacks started wearing the bottom rocker and the Bandidos objected to it. And it was in their world, this is like tweaking somebody somewhat. And the Bandidos showed up and then violence ensued.
And I assume, Larry, that their objection did not take the form of parliamentary rules of order.
No, this is not the Marquis of Queensberry rules here. This is Waco, Texas, home of David Koresh.
Yes. So, what was it, 7 or 9 people killed?
9 people killed. 170 arrested.
Right, and other injuries.
And oh yeah,
and apparently this was a complete melee, right? So they said there were stabbings and beatings in the bathrooms. Now before we even go down that road, apparently the cops had gotten some wind of this ahead of time, like a week ahead of time, and they had asked the restaurant to cancel the bikers' night.
Right.
Saying like, hey, we're really concerned, there's going to be some serious violence we hear, blah, 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 blah. And at the time, the restaurant said, look, you guys are just overreacting. We have these guys in here all the time. There's absolutely no violence that ever occurred, which was true. Up until that point, there was no violence or anything.
It is true, but I got to tell you, the restaurant sent out, like, the most ridiculous press statement. You know how they always put these things? They put out, we're trying to provide, like, a comfortable environment for our patrons. Like, they went through a thing that sounded like Disney World. Like, not that you would be having, like, biker gangs.
Right. But, you know, so the cops did try to warn them. And when the incident occurred, it was within like 50 feet of a police contingent.
Right.
So supposedly the cops were there. They had some SWAT team guys there.
They showed up later, yeah.
But it only took the cops about, they said, 40 seconds to respond. Like, they were literally on the scene. And these guys were brazen enough to go ahead and do this sort of thing anyway in the full sight of the cops. Yeah. And you know what? Texas, last week we gave you, or 2 weeks ago, we gave you the thumbs up for shooting those goddamn savages who tried to shut down the anti-Muhammad
cartoon drawing.
Man, Larry, I don't know about you, I would have bet my last dollar that this shit don't go down in Texas, especially when you've got lawmen on site. Yeah. You know, it's not like they had to travel to prevent this. They were there, and these guys
started fighting like in the bathroom and some other places. They used brass knuckles, knives, chains, and apparently there was some shooting.
Yeah, just so you gun control advocates realize, you can kill people without guns. It is possible.
Yeah, and you can get them illegally. More importantly, because usually the bands just go after like innocent store owners or
cash
register. But there was a lot of violence, and then apparently they turned their guns on the cops when they showed up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've seen some guys who are biker enthusiasts on Facebook that I know.
I love that, biker
enthusiasts. Yeah, because I don't know if they're affiliated or not with any particular club. But they claim that the cops murdered, basically, these biker brothers.
Yeah, they're claiming that the bullets are really the cops.
Bullets. Yeah. I don't know. What I do know is, if I apply the principle of Occam's razor to this, the simplest solution is probably the correct one.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think the simplest solution is when you have different clubs from different areas of the country, and one of them thinks that that part of Waco is their territory, and the other one says, no, it's ours. Much like the five families in the old days, there's going to be some shooting going on.
Well, these are actually different, but from the same state.
So yeah, this is like, I thought they had a country. No, but they had out-of-state guys
show up as well. They have other clubs.
Oh, I meant to say out-of-state. Right, from
But they are mostly centered in Texas, where they come from. And this is a bragging rights thing in Texas. And we don't want the gangs to get mad at us, but we think you're assholes.
And again, gang business, blow your brains out, much like the mafia.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why is everybody stopping them from killing each other?
Because they're doing it in public. It's one thing if they do it in, like, somebody's empty garage or something.
I guess.
I don't give a shit about, but if you're going to endanger just regular
citizens. Yeah, I know. I guess I'm brainwashed by Sons of Anarchy. They're always doing things, like, in some place, like, 40 miles out on a dirt road. I'm like, who cares if they kill each other? They're all scumbags.
That's part of the mythology and the mysticism that surrounds this sort of thing. It's like, people romanticize this shit. Like, I saw a lot of people saying, well, that's not the way they... Like, some people seriously mentioned what you just goofed on. Like, well, it didn't happen that way on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
But that's a... Listen... I said this about Sons of Anarchy. I said this about The Godfather. I said this about Goodfellas. Any of these gangster movies. If those movies have you feeling anything but disgust for the protagonist, they're romanticized. It's bullshit. It's fiction. Because most normal people, if they know murderers and gangsters and racketeers and all these horrible people, they wouldn't be thinking highly of them.
No.
I guarantee you. These are killers. They're murderers, okay?
No.
So, any show that has you believing anything other than that, well, I feel sorry that Jax killed himself.
Yeah.
Jax was a mass murderer on Sons of Anarchy. Oh, poor Michael, what he had to go through with his family. Michael Corleone was a murderer. You know, it's like, why do we... So, that's the... As great as... And believe me, I love watching those movies.
Yeah, they're great. You're supposed to realize who these guys are.
Exactly.
And what they're about. It's like The Shield.
Yes.
Chiklis, that yeah. Tony Chiklis, he was on show we were talking about Vic Mackey.
Yeah.
And one of the episodes towards the end, one of the series,
yeah.
One of the last years, they had on Forrest Whitaker. And he tells a story. I saw him on one of the shows, and he goes, "Well, I was in Boston the other day. These people started yelling at me, 'Why are you hassling Mackey?'" Like, it's a corrupt cop asshole.
Why are you hassling Mackey, Blackie? Because if you've been to Boston, you probably know that that was the end of the rhyme.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. It's a testament to storytelling when a Vic Mackey, a Jax,
a Jax Teller,
or Michael Corleone, or a Tommy, the guy from Goodfellas, feel sorry when they get killed.
Well, even Breaking Bad.
Or
Walter White was so bad, you know, because initially he was dying and he was paying his hospital bills, and then he paid for some more hospital bills for his cousin, when his brother-in-law got fucked up. And people lose sight. Look, the moment you cross the law, forget it. No good. And the fact that he hit $80 million in the desert.
And especially if you're a murderer. It's not like you're... it's not that, say, embezzlement or grand theft auto or grand larceny is any better, but at least you're not taking someone's life, an innocent person's life.
Yeah.
Like, these people are murderers. So, again, testament to cinema, good cinema and good storytelling, that you find these people compelling.
Yeah, people, you know.
But as characters, but for you to translate this into anything other than disgust in your real life, you have serious flaws. Yeah, you have shortcomings.
You have to realize who these guys are. The Cossacks and the Banditos are not nice guys. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just more like the Hell's Angels influence. It's just these stupid gangs. And when you read the list of crimes that they're involved in, all kinds of racketeering, killing, rapes, drugs,
a lot of meth.
And like all these things. What's that other crazy stuff? Not the crank. But something else that they sell that's...
Heroin?
What
was that, Phil?
Heroin?
Heroin?
Is it heroin?
I don't know how Phil knows what biker gangs are pushing.
Phil knows everything. Let me tell you.
By the way, this is Phil.
We'll have to video distort that later. so they had a big fight down there in Waco, Texas. And now the police, of course, are concerned that... They said that more gangs are actually headed that way, so they're afraid that there's going to be larger violence.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a turf war at this point.
Yeah, but they're afraid there's going to be more fighting and more violence. But one guy who infiltrated them said it's more likely that it'll calm down and that they'll wait like 9 to 12 months, like kind of like a terrorist group.
Right, right.
And then when everyone's going to calm down and drop their guard, they'll come and like fuck up 80 people. The banditos.
There's this, I forget the name of it, but there's series. I don't think it's A&E. It might be A&E. But there's this old veteran news report, and I know I'm not helping anybody because I can't remember the name of all this shit, but they do each episode is on an organized crime syndicate in the U.S. So lately, they've been focusing a lot away from the traditional organized crime, like the mafia, the Italian mafia, the Russian mafia, the Japanese mafias, and the Yakuzas and all that, and they've been focusing a lot of their attention on biker gangs, because that apparently seems to be the thing that's on the rise in this country.
Yeah.
Is the illegal activity associated with, I'll hedge my bet, some biker clubs, you know, some biker gangs as opposed to all of them. But apparently this is a growing issue, or at least it seems to be.
Yeah, it has been. And they run a lot of their stuff out of the prisons.
Right.
I mean, I've seen a few documentaries that have talked about biker gangs and Latino gangs and like their control of like drugs.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. And you know, it's one of the things that makes me think about border security. Because you watch these things and these guys, like especially the guys going like from Mexico, like they're coming and going like nothing. You would think that there was no border and there were no good. I mean, they're just in and out. Nobody's stopping them.
Yeah.
You know, I find that appalling that people just come and go like that and they're doing like highly illegal things.
Right.
And violence. Right. And I mean, I don't know if they're paying people off, but They have no problem getting in and out of the country.
Well, look, when you're riding an iron steed, as it were, it's tougher to pick you up, and I'm sure at some point they're probably paying people off. Why not? That's the way most criminal enterprises operate.
But that's the problem with drugs in particular, because there's so much money to be made.
Right.
You know, like even if you go back to Prohibition, that's how Capone got all his seed money. You know, that and from that, just boom,
right.
All of a sudden, empire. But at any rate, this gang and all the people who got arrested, they're all being held on $1 million bond right now. So
if they flee, that's going to be a nice payday for Waco.
Yeah.
$170 million. Yeah, I'd leave the jails unlocked.
Hey, they're escaping. Like, hey, give us $1 million.
They have the bond, right? So
yeah. You're building another place for a correction.
All right. So things going on in Texas. Texas, I'm disappointed in you. I would have expected better out of you.
Yeah, we even showed a picture of Chuck Norris. You should be kicking their ass at this
point.
That's
right. Definitely.
Stupid games.
All right, Larry. Let's see. What else did I think was funny last week? Oh, here in New York.
Fox News.
No.
No, okay.
One of our favorite people to rag on, Al Sharpton. Balloon head Al Sharpton.
Oh, well, we're using it. Yeah, good. We used the one we used to be fat.
But anyway, no, balloon head.
Oh, balloon head?
Yeah. His head is like 50 times larger than his body now that he moves all the way. But anyway, this guy, who we've mentioned several times, and as have other outlets, that he is a tax dodger. And his organizations are tax dodgers. He owes the IRS millions.
Yeah, I just saw something the other day that said he may owe $4 million.
Yeah, yeah. It's a ton of cash that he owes to the government. And remember last week when we were talking about people who don't pay any taxes? Reverend Al is one of them, in the millions, okay? And he's always bitching about the government and demanding more services and all that. But anyway, so apparently, you know that old adage, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, Larry?
That's right.
Well, apparently, the fatso doesn't roll too far away from Papa, because we find out that his daughter, do you remember her name?
Dominique Sharpton.
Sharpton.
Was walking across Soho here in New York.
Yeah. Go ahead. I can't.
And she, apparently she hurt her little ankle.
Yes.
And also, in proof that being a huckster and a douche is genetic, she wants $5 million from the city of New York.
$5 million because she sprained or hurt her ankle walking in the streets of Manhattan.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now, that is ridiculous enough, because unless the sidewalk came to life and took a chunk out of her chubby ankle, out of her cankle, then I don't see what the reason would be. I mean, unless... Phil, what happened? The sidewalk fall apart, Phil?
Apparently, there was a crack in the sidewalk. And
crack?
Crack.
Well, then she should be fine with it.
Okay. So she stepped in the crack and twisted her ankle, is that it?
Something like that.
And I guess the city owes her $5 mil?
$5 mil.
All right. Phil, on the spot with the details. But anyway, so as ludicrous as this is, but then again, what do you expect from the daughter of someone who still thinks Tawana Brawley told the truth? Right? So anyway, but being a typical moron, as is the case from that family, this bimbo decides that she's going to go hiking on her bad $5 million ankle. And on top of that, post the lovely pictures of it to social media.
The constant flow of people who do things that are wrong or stupid. Think of it just in the past year. And then they post shit, like on Facebook or like on Instagram. What the hell is wrong with people? So she does this, and then she shows pictures of her climbing a mountain in Bali.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and you know, you can see that she's fine. They're above the clouds. And she's tweeting like, wow, this was really, like, dangerous or cool. Like,
do you realize I hurt my ankle a year ago and I'm still hobbling and have trouble, like, getting in and out of chairs? All right? This bitch claims she wants $5 million for a hurt ankle from the city of New York, and she's on a mountaintop in Bali posting pictures. I'm sure this is a conspiracy of the white man at Facebook or whatever to bomb her lawsuit, Larry.
Oh, please.
White devil.
Dominique Sharpton, Val Sharpton, if Al Goldstein was here, I think he would know what to tell you.
We can make Al Goldstein come here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck you.
$5 million.
$5 million. But isn't it symptomatic, Larry? It's just like, A, that her father is this, like, sort of...
Well, that's the whole
huckster,
thing.
Huckster, like, this scam is his, artist.
Yeah, this is his whole program.
How does anyone take him with any grain of seriousness right now? And this is a guy that Obama invites to the White House for advice and for sit-downs. That might be the pinnacle of nonsense.
And he has his own TV show.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we're idiots. We have our show and whatever. I mean, people watch what they want to watch. That's less of a problem to me than having the president of the United States say, hey, listen, you're a guy who's dedicated his whole life to fucking hucksterism.
and he's the go-to guy on race.
Right. And so let's bring him in for serious discussions on race or policing.
81 times.
Exactly. Right. 81 times, according to Phil, that fat fuck's been to the White House. So, you know, honestly, shame on you, President Obama, really, for even considering this asshole to be part of any sort of presidential advisory board or committee or meetings or anything.
I get annoyed if he invited Jesse Jackson. He's inviting Al Sharpton.
You know what? Jesse at least has stayed out of this nonsense for the most part. For the most part. And especially in recent years. Like, you really don't hear about Jesse Jackson getting involved
He still does those things, like, you know, the companies. Like, if you don't do this, you don't do all protest. You
well,
like,
Sharpton, he actually, that. Sharpton is the one that really does that.
Oh, yeah, but Jackson still does it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll hear some stories. Yeah. He's got a problem with some company or right. something. No, but Sharpton has obviously become the main figure in race baiting and race huckstering.
And there's always, look, I mean, there's always people who don't believe that, no matter what the evidence is, there's people who don't believe that Sharpton does these things, that he was set up, that, you know, or that he's only doing it for the good of the people and all that. Hey, when he doesn't pay his taxes, guess who he hurts the most? His own people, the poor people, right? Because those taxes, allegedly, are going to help the poor. And apparently, if he's dodging $4 million, allegedly.
Yeah, that's the income.
That means his income is a lot more than that.
Yeah, and that's the amount from just his Action Network thing.
And by the way, those are the one percenters you guys keep bitching about. Well, they don't pay their fair share, quote-unquote.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
Aren't these the guys who are always complaining that the wealthy in this society need to be paying a lot more?
Yeah.
Aren't they the ones that... Who came up with the 1%? I mean, you know, all the occupied Wall Street people. Like, here's a perfect example. You should be mad at this guy.
Yeah.
He owes more in fucking taxes than Willie Nelson, for God's sakes. Yeah. He doesn't pay a thing.
And to be fair, I don't know if Occupy Wall Street is mad at Sharpton or not.
The point is, because they're a leftist, they give him a pass, but they should be mad at somebody like that, because they're the ones saying, if your buck's up, you should be paying more in this society. Right. And look at the ones who are all dodging. We covered all the people at MSNBC.
Four of them.
Who are not paying what they're supposed to be paying.
All meanwhile, by the way.
But meanwhile, everybody else has to pay.
Right.
Everybody else who is out there earning their own money, not shaking people down.
Yeah. And you know, Sharpton's had, I think he's been, had his day in court, right? I mean, I don't think it's just, you know, they come in and take it. But anyway, so hopefully this illuminates Al Sharpton to a few more people. The few out there that may have thought that he was a legitimate reverend or a legitimate healer of
leader of socialism.
Yeah, or something. It's like, he's nothing but a carny. He should have been a pro wrestler. He's living his life kayfabe 100% of the time, all the time. He's living his gimmick, all right? In my opinion, he's nothing but a race huckster. He's a con man. He's a carny. And he's passing that sort of knowledge down to his kids, apparently, or at least his daughter.
Funny thing is, he's been doing this since like the early 80s. That's when he first blasted on the scene. You had the Tawana Brawley thing, then the shooting at Bensonhurst.
Right.
And he made a point, and the other thing in Howard Beach. And he showed up and he bussed people in the protest. And of course, he was really fat back then. He was wearing those sweatsuits and all that.
With the hubcap medallions.
Yeah, that big ass medallion.
Yeah. But anyway, so he is where he is now, and apparently his kids, again, not too far from the tree, this apple that fell his daughter, but anyway. Larry, what else we got?
On a more entertaining note, I think it was early last week, it might have been a couple days ago, on Fox News, you know, the nightly show, they have Hannity at 10 o'clock. If you're a Hannity watcher, you know this already. And he had on one of his guests, Gavin McInnes.
I love Gavin McInnes, by the way.
This guy is really funny. He's a Canadian who moved here to the United States.
Looks goofy.
Yeah, he looks goofy. He does it on purpose, though. It's kind of part of his goofy image. You know, if you watch Fox, if you watch those shows, you know that he really made his bones on Red Eye for a lot of years.
He was a co-founder of Vice.
Of Vice, right.
He's had his own advertising agency.
He writes for Talkie Mag.
Right. He's one of these guys, he's like really accomplished a lot, and he's also been fired a lot from various gigs. He's the only guy who got he's not the only guy, but he got fired from his own company that he started, by the way,
right.
for being too offensive in his blog.
Yeah.
Also, Larry, before we continue, Phil's put a picture up of Gavin McInnes. Does he remind you of our old pal Eastside Dave when you look at his face, like the full beard and everything? The mustache, the hair, little reddish?
Somewhat, but yeah. Eastside was all red.
Yeah.
And McInnes is not. He's actually got dark hair. And he's got, like, spots.
All right. But he reminds me a little of Eastside Dave. But
yeah, whatever. He does some routines that are pretty funny. He does his father, the Scottish guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he wears, like, a kilt. And he came on Red Eye. And, like, every answer was like, you know, you're talking about it. Like, you know, that, like, crazy accent. And, but he was on the show.
Right.
And, you know, presenting, you know, the conservative point of view. They were debating with a woman on the show named Tamara Holder. Now, she's on Hannity.
Nice
whack on her,
by the way.
Nice.
Yes.
She's on a couple of times every once in a while. Hannity has her on.
Right.
This is your basic, you're a very liberal Democrat. So naturally, they spar her off with him. But McInnes.
And the subject was?
The subject was that women are not making what men.
The gender gap question, the whole basically.
Equal pay. And they didn't talk about Patricia Arquette. That award ceremony, but I think that's what started a lot more of this these days, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But, and they started talking about why women make less than men, to which McInnes said, because they want to, and that they're not ambitious, and they don't do the things that men do, and they'd be happier at home and making cookies.
Which, by the way, is hilarious.
Yeah.
For all you uptight feminists and dicky leftists, it's not hate speech, what he said.
It's not even serious if you know who he is.
Yeah, it is hilarious. It is fucking hilarious, okay? And if you know the guy, he was making two points. One, that women really, again, there is no gender gap. Women who work like men get paid like men. Simple as that, okay? And if you look at the data is there. This bitch kept saying, oh, that's manipulation of the data. And she was trying to make fun of the Washington Beacon by calling it the Washington Banana.
Yeah, the and everything. Free Beacon.
Whatever. So the point is that, first of all, who is she to complain, right? It's a newspaper, whatever it is. But she obviously doesn't understand statistics. And what this guy was saying, even though he said it very crudely and I think hilariously, that women would be happier at home, women have no ambition. Rather than work late, women would rather be home with their babies, and men have the ambition to work all night and all that.
They'd rather see their kids and doing a recital.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was hilarious because she took him seriously and was having a minor stroke on the set. You could almost see the aneurysm forming in the side of her head.
I'm not a big Hannity watcher.
I saw the clip. I didn't see it live.
Yeah, but I actually, the funny thing is, I actually caught this just by channel surfing. And I recognized it. They obviously were coming back from commercial. And with us now, he goes, Gavin McInnes and Tamara Holder. And I knew him from Red Eye. So I was like, all right, I'll just watch this.
Right.
Sure enough, and he just like broke out into this whole thing about how you'd be happier at home. Hannity was smart enough just to sit
just let it roll. He knew television gold when he saw it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He said it in a funny way, and he said it in a way that was meant to incite a certain reaction
from her. Response from
her. Here's the thing. He's absolutely right. When you look at the main differentiation as to why men in certain jobs get paid more than women, it really comes down to a few things. One, the men do not take time off for family issues, usually. What does that mean? Pregnancy, raising children, okay? That might be a societal failing in your view, fair enough, but that's not an employer's failing. That's not a bias of the market, okay? It's just, hey, I have 10 years continuous experience. Even though you have 10 years experience as a woman, it's not continuous. It might have been 5, take a year off, then work another 5 or something to that effect, okay?
Right.
So there's very well-studied and very well-documented reasons as to why when these factors are different, women get paid less. When men and women have the exact same background, meaning education, continuous years of experience, time spent on the job, et cetera, et cetera, women actually earn exactly the same amount as men.
No.
All right. Why? Because capitalism takes care of that for you. If you could run a company by paying women who do, quote unquote, the same job as a man for 23% less, why would any self-respecting capitalist not hire anything but women? You start out 23% ahead of your rivals.
Right.
Okay? You've got a profit margin built in of 23%. So why wouldn't you do it if you're a capitalist, if you're a lousy capitalist, according to your feminists, okay? So Gavin McInnes, what he did was, he took these well-known, well-researched points, but because apparently feminists, liberals, and women don't seem to get it, and they keep repeating the same stupid point over and over again, women only earn 77 cents on the dollar of men and bullshit like that, because apparently, from what I can tell, women don't understand statistics.
Hey, good one.
And maybe they'd be happier home.
Hey, Gavin, feeding their babies. Were you separated at birth from a Greek guy? I mean, there he is.
No, but seriously, like, if anyone tells you that 77% number, just discard them. Because they're either being purposeful liars or they just don't understand statistics.
Right.
So you can't talk to those people because they just don't understand what's happening, okay? And...
But they're also hypocrites.
Of course they're
hypocrites.
That's
the worst part about when you know, let me tell you something. The reason I mentioned when Patricia Arquette made her comments at that awards, she got the award, she went up there.
The Oscars.
Oh, was it the Oscars?
Yeah.
I don't watch any of that shit. Yeah. So I didn't want to say that.
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was the Emmys or whatever.
Yeah, it was the Oscars.
I don't watch these things. But what they did show is that, well, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. She was paying the women on her staff less than the men.
Yeah, and do you know why she did that?
And who's getting upset about it?
No, but
I don't even care why she did. Who's getting upset about it?
They conveniently forget about that. The same way most liberals forget that Obama, on average, pays women in his cabinet less than men for, quote-unquote, the same job.
Hmm.
The point is, because these are market forces, these are things that happen in the give and take of a relatively free economy, okay? Hi, I have 10 years experience. Really? Okay, are they continuous 10 years experience? No. I had to take 3 years off to have a kid. Then my husband got sick, so I had to go home to take care of him. Okay, is it sexist that we expect women to do that shit? Maybe. Maybe it is sexist.
Yeah.
But guess what? That's not addressed at the workplace. By the time women and men get to the workplace, it's too late. That shit was those seeds were planted 20 years before anybody ever gets to the workplace.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an attitude thing.
Perception. It's the way you're raised.
That has nothing to do with the workplace.
Exactly. It's the way you were raised, right? If listen, I remember that growing up, there were things that girls were not encouraged to participate in school and that men were, right? Like most little girls back then, and maybe to some extent today, Larry, are pushed into what? Teaching, nursing, what we would call liberal arts types of jobs, right?
Yeah.
Or at least were and certainly are to some extent encouraged to do that. Well, what are boys encouraged to do? Engineers, most of the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Like most of those occupations are still dominated by men. And not in terms of pay, just in terms of who goes into these fields. And by the way, what do you think are the highest paying fields per hour? STEM-related fields, right? And even within, say, doctors, heart surgeons get paid more than general practitioners or than pediatricians. Well, it's something like 80% of thoracic surgeons are men. 80% of GPs are women. So you understand what I'm trying to get at? It's that because women, for the longest time, have planned their careers around the prospect of being mothers and starting families. Don't blame me. Blame nature that when you get knocked up, you're 9 months out of the box, ladies. It's not my fault. Blame that on nature, okay?
It's okay with me if you blame me.
Yeah, you can't blame men for that. Okay, so if you choose to have children, you're out of the workforce for maternity leave, for whatever it is, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. I've said the story. I was in corporate America. I got into a serious car accident. I was out for 6 months. Guess what? I missed my promotion cycle. I had to work to get back to where I was before the accident. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. But I don't blame the guy who took my spot. You can't do that. You have to just say, okay, I'm going to make the best of it, Larry. You can't, you know. So women, just shut the fuck up and work harder if you want to get paid the same as men.
And if you're going to argue with Gavin McInnes, please realize that a lot of what he says is tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, please. There's underlying truth to it, but yeah, he's a comedian. Yeah, he's a comic. He's a satirist.
He was trying to be funny, and he was trying to annoy her.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that was much more than opposed to the serious point that you just made. And that, like, even, like, statistically, women change jobs more, like, 11 times more often than men. There's a lot of things that go
into it. They're more likely to be part-time workers than full-time workers.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into the reasons why there's inequity that they think in pay. It's not as simple as, well, you're not a man, so I'm going to pay you less. That can be some of it, but, you know.
You have a vagine.
But in the case of...
No, pay the vagine.
Do not put that up there. But in the case of Tamara Holder, you're stupid. You have no sense of humor.
Right. You have a nice rack, but that's about it.
That's about it.
Monetize that. All right, Larry. So, Gavin McInnes, we love the guy.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
I love...
He also is one of the best things they ever did on... When Gutfeld left Red Eye, they did a review of his, like, 7-8 years. One of the things they actually picked was on a New Year's Eve show. Yeah. He was sitting, and they had those tall chairs, and he goes, hot beer, and he fell straight back. Like, and everybody went, whoa. Like, you have to realize he does a lot, and you can see he did it deliberately.
Yeah.
You can see, like, he gives his chair, like, a little, but he went straight back and, like, landed on his head, which may have knocked some sense out of him.
Right.
But you have to realize a lot of this is just him breaking balls because this is what he does.
Right.
Okay.
So good for Gavin McInnes and whatever, Tamara Holder?
Tamara Holder.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. She's an annoying liberal bitch because, you know what it is? I think there are women who might have gotten the joke.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, he was just being ridiculous. He was doing like a little Ralph Crandon routine. I mean, I don't really, you know. Look, he's got a wife. He's got a daughter. I believe it. I think he loves them very much.
He said he has two daughters.
Yeah, two daughters.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's got no sons, I think. He's surrounded by women that help Gavin McInnes. So, I mean, look, the guy he's a satirist. I loved it. I thought it was funny. Oh, by the way, speaking of satire and people who may not have gotten it, did you see all the hubbub about Louis C.K.'s monologue on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yes, and I saw it. Yes, I did.
Again, hilarious, in my opinion.
I thought it was funny.
That whole thing about people getting upset that he was, like, talking about pedophilia and stuff?
It was a little uncomfortable, but it was funny.
It was hilarious. Yeah. And then when you're a comedian, guess what's important? Being funny.
Yeah.
Making people think, you know, using humor to illuminate. Larry, I don't understand what people were upset about. Like, did they really think he was praising pedophiles?
No.
Is that what people, the people who complain, I mean, is that what you really think? That Louis C.K., who has two daughters, by the way, is like a pro-pedophile supporter? No. NABLA? He's a supporter of NABLA? Is that what you think? You fucking assholes.
No, this is more of the, like, the PC thing that they just feel like there are, like, certain topics that you can't joke about, you can't be funny.
Yeah.
They don't see the humor in it. Like, if you notice, before he did the pedophilia thing, or pedophilia in England, he did a joke. He goes, and look, in some of the band, you can always see the band are minorities. He goes, I kind of just engage in mild racism.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example.
Great.
He goes, I walked into this pizza parlor, and there were four black women walking in, and he goes, I went, huh. No, he went, huh. He goes, that's funny. Like, he goes, I'm not used to seeing that. He goes, I went, huh. Yeah. He goes, well, good for them.
Unless the name of the place is Four Black Women Making Pizzas, right? So, which, again, is brilliant. Not only is it funny, it's brilliant because, like, it shows how white people can be racist without realizing it, in essence, or certain groups can be racist without realizing
that. And he talked about when he went in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he was happy to see Indian and, like, Asian doctors. And
right, exactly.
Oh, good.
Exactly.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old theme for comedians, but Louis C.K., you know, produced it properly, you know, and he presented it properly. The pedophile material, he basically said, you know, he likened it to liking Mounds bars. And he goes, I love Mounds bars. I gotta have Mounds bars. But if someone told me that having another Mounds bar would send me to jail, I'd stop eating Mounds bars. He goes, so apparently, pedophiles must love little boys. Yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it must be the greatest thing in the world because they keep doing it
even after they go to jail, right? Okay. hilarious, okay? And you could hear people groaning in the audience, and the band. And then finally, he's after he finished his routine, he goes, all right, we powered through it. All right, everybody, all right. Meaning that, look, nothing happened to us. No little kids got dicked in the ass because of my jokes. You know, it's like, you know, and people, I can't emphasize this enough. Lighten the fuck up.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's humor. Louis C.K. is not the president. He's not a politician. He's not a lawmaker. He's not a high school principal in charge of the welfare of children.
Right.
Right. He's a fucking comedian. Even if something isn't funny.
Even a good one.
Yeah. Let him make his jokes. Let him say what's on his mind.
Yeah.
A good joke and a bad joke start from the same process.
Yeah.
It really does. It starts from a comedian trying to be offensive, trying to be shocking, trying to be funny, trying to be sarcastic, trying to make a societal point.
You have to step on some toes.
You have to
break some eggs if you want to make
it. Yeah, all good humor offends somebody. Really. Yeah. The really good, like you might say,
let me take that back. That's not true.
Some comedians can make you laugh without offending you, okay? But those are not the type of comedians that really become, in my opinion, hallowed. You know, like when you look at the Richard Pryors. When you look at the Richard Pryors, the George Carlins.
Yeah, but look at Mel Brooks, look at Woody Allen. I mean, they didn't have to offend people.
Well, look, Woody Allen, if you listen to his stand-up, was very...
Stand-up?
Yeah, back in the 60s. Do yourself a favor. Look at Woody... Before he became, like, a pedophile, Woody Allen, and before he was a film director, he was one of the great stand-ups in the early 60s. Listen to his material. He did a lot to expose anti-Semitism in New York. He did that routine about running into a deer and... Then the deer is alive, and it's in the country club, but the joke's on them because the deer is Jewish. You know, it's like he had this routine. I'm not doing it any justice. He was, in his own way, offensive. Like, he didn't do it by cursing. He didn't do it by violent imagery, but that was his tool of doing things. Look at Lenny Bruce. Look at Carlin, Bruce. Pryor, Kinison. Andrew Dice Clay, as dopey as he was exposing certain stereotypes. So I think, like, that pantheon of comedians that sort of, like, they're up here, the way we talk about the great ones, always offend someone at some point.
Oh, okay.
Safe comedy, usually, is not great comedy because it doesn't take any chances. So literally, all you supposed enlightened liberals who think you're so advanced and learned and pseudo-intellectual,
would you consider Seinfeld an offensive show?
No, I do not
consider.
Well, no. But I don't consider that like what we're talking about here, which is a stand-up comedian commenting on life. Those are sitcoms. They're not regulated, but they're controlled by networks that have to protect the profit margin. To me, that's a whole different setup, you know? You know, but we're talking about a guy or a gal with a microphone. Look at Amy Schumer. Here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Watch Inside Amy Schumer, and I don't agree, believe me, I don't agree with her politics, but she really does some really innovative, offensive stuff that makes you think. Did you see that routine of hers inside 12 Angry Men inside Amy Schumer?
No.
Which was a takeoff of the movie 12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
And the setup was that you had 12, and she filmed it in black and white. She had some great stars. She had Jeff Goldblum, Nick DiPaolo, Paul Giamatti, the guy from Mad Men, the young guy with the glasses, the guy who plays, one of the Mad Men actors was there. And supposedly there was a trial about whether Amy Schumer was hot enough to be on TV. Why? Because she's heard the people talking about her. She's gained weight. She's plumped up.
Yes, she's
and a lot of people are saying she's not hot enough to have her own show. So she incorporated it into this skit, which was 12 Angry Men Inside Amy Schumer. Hilarious. Funny. Yeah. Offensive. Okay? That's what good comedy does.
I saw her in Montreal.
Hilarious.
Yeah, she's very funny. She talked a lot about a lot of
sexual things, of course.
She was very active in high school. And
she tells this joke where she was taking a cab ride home from somewhere, and just because she felt like it, she got into the front seat with the cab driver and basically took his hand and jammed it up her snatch. For no reason. Like, she just did. Now, think about a female comedian doing something like that, even today. Like, you would say, oh my God, how horrible, whatever. But when she does it, it's funny, you know, and she's exposing herself to you for that reason. So when you look at comedians taking those chances, whether it's Gavin McGinnis or Louis C.K. talking about pedophilia,
yeah,
any of that shit.
Well, I don't object to it.
No, I don't either.
I laughed. Look, I watched this from Saturday Night Live. I saw it. And I was laughing. It was a little uncomfortable because you think about the topic, but I mean, I was laughing, but I agree. A lot of the audience kind of groaned, and then the next day there were a lot of
bloggers and everything.
They hated it.
Phil, you've been known to chase a kid or two. Do you think it was funny?
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah? Yeah. Not bad. You think they can hear you back there when you mumble?
I think so.
Phil doesn't get the concept.
They can hear him. They can do anything.
Phil just doesn't get the concept. Because you know what's funny to us, ladies and gentlemen? Before the show, we pulled Phil aside and we said, listen, when you talk, speak up. Because no one can hear you on this fucking show. What's the first thing he does when we go to him?
Phil is a definite behind the camera guy, but he's very good at that.
For those of you wondering why Phil is never on camera and instead we put up photos like this, that's because if we put Phil on camera, he would instantaneously freeze and do this.
Probably.
All right. Oh, Larry, we jumped all over the place today.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Is there anything else we want to cover?
Yeah, this guy, the British security expert, says his name is Chris Roberts, and he's got a really crazy looking beard.
Right.
And we got a picture of him back there, possibly. He says he has an app he's created where he can get control of the pilot's control board by entering through the entertainment system on a flight. Now, of course, the airlines are saying this is bullshit.
What else would they say?
But he says he can do it, and he can get control of the plane and actually make the plane go sideways.
Yeah. Now, you know, which is a scary thought.
Yeah.
And this guy is probably a white hat hacker, so he did it, and he's telling you about it so you can fix it, probably. He's not selling it to terrorists, hopefully. But...
Yeah, but by going public with it, now everybody knows.
No, but I'm pretty sure
it's a possibility, or it can be done. Or
yeah, he's probably doing it to force the airlines to take care of it.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because now, to your point, if it's public, can you imagine if some terrorist does control a flight like that? The lawsuits, the culpability, everything. So it's like he's probably for it, but you know. At first I went, it's bullshit, but then and again, I'm not a hacker, but when you think of what they're attacking, which is the unencrypted radio frequencies that these instruments use on board, and also between the plane and the control tower, if someone could figure out how to sneak in on that sort of tunnel using the radio frequencies, theoretically, yeah, you could just, can you imagine the guy's flying the plane and all of a sudden his control panel just turns off?
Right.
Forget controlling just turn it off. You know, now you're flying blind, basically.
Right.
So, and most of these pilots, unfortunately, because of autopilot and the reliance on machinery, these are not like the World War II pilots that you may have seen in the old movies, you know, flying with the rudder, you know. And if the engine goes out, they can glide.
Right, and they need constant attention and constant. Yeah. There's a lot of just autopilot gliding along.
Yeah.
I took flying lessons at one point, learning to fly a Cessna. And
says what?
Says N-word.
Oh.
And you would be surprised that, like, once you climb and you get up, you can actually let go of the controls and just sit there, and the plane will just go. It won't start the nosedive and go like you see in movies. You can actually just let go of it.
Yeah, and I read that there's a whole generation or two now of pilots that just don't know what to do in an emergency. So, like, the Sullenbergers, the Sullies, who made that fantastic landing on the East River, or the Harlem River, in New York a couple years ago, those guys are few and far between. Like, if you notice, that guy had a lot of snow on the roof when they were interviewing him. Like, he comes from a different generation of pilots.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine if you're up there, you've got two relatively young pilots, say, a pilot and a co-pilot, and all of a sudden their control panel just turns off.
Right.
How do they react? Would they know how to react? Would they panic? You know? So, I mean, and it's not to blame pilots, because that's just a function of technology, and the more we advance in some ways...
Yeah, it makes you a little lazier and a little...
Right. Don't forget, the reason we build these machines this way is to decrease reliance on humans, to avoid human error, like falling asleep or, you know, things like that. But at the same time, you're opening up the risk this other way. So, I don't know, Larry, you fly a lot. I don't. I hate those fucking tin cans, but...
Oh, he'll be on one tomorrow.
Shh. But anyway.
Yes.
I mean, does this scare you? You're a frequent flyer. Potentially?
Well, potentially. I mean, it also makes me think of the thing that happened with that pilot over in Europe just like a month or two ago, that as soon as the guy left the cockpit, he closed the cockpit, he couldn't get back in, and he crashed the plane. Like, it seems like there's a lot of fucked up ways to...
But even that, they said was a... Like, in, not that it's any consolation to the Germans, but supposedly, like, U.S. regulations say that the cockpit can never be one person by himself.
That's right. The Europeans don't have that, but they're thinking of changing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if the co-pilot has to take a piss, like, one of the stewardesses has to go in there and sit where he would sit. Now, I don't know what a broad in heels is going to do if a guy goes psycho, if the pilot decides to go nuts, you know, but...
Scream,
leave the door open, jam her lifeless body between the door. I have no idea.
Be held hostage,
blow the guy to distract them. I don't know. You see how sexist I am?
John is just the worst.
Anyway, so in terms of that thing, those hackers, I think these are white hat hackers. There was also a part of the article said that a different hacker presented a way of doing something else via an Android app with planes, you know. Yeah, so apparently, if you have a big enough, transmitter to be able to hit the planes as they're flying, apparently these guys are claiming you use radio frequency to control or discombobulate the plane, which is a scary thought. But hopefully now that this is public, the airlines, and again, they have every reason to do this, is to, you know, counteract it somehow. Maybe they encrypt the radio frequencies. I don't know, Phil, what do you think? Can they encrypt that shit?
We're all becoming computer, depending on computers, it's going to become like Terminator.
Uh-oh, Terminator.
Going to take over everything.
Phil thinks Terminator's coming.
He's coming.
Now, let me get this straight.
That could be.
The sexy Terminator that can make her tits liquid and flow all over the place? Or the Arnold with the big cock type of Terminator?
How do you know he has a big cock?
Arnold has a big cock. We all know that. That's a fact.
Okay.
The same way Chuck Norris can kick the shit out of anyone. These are just facts of life, Larry.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that about Schwarzenegger.
I don't know.
I do know that. But he's got a point. They're just more and more things are just being turned over to a computer. Now, I mean, whether they're going to wake up one day and decide human beings are fucking scum that need to die. All right. That's why it's science fiction. But I do know that more and more things are being turned over.
That's why that's science fiction, and this is the riot.
This is the riot.
There you go, bitches.
Can we put that above that somehow?
I'll try. Just stick out your chest like this. Maybe I can do that. Maybe Phil can put some graphics. Phil, give it a shot. Can you put the word the over it?
No, that.
Oh, that. No, that riot show. Can you do that?
I got it.
Well, you got it, baby. Larry, don't move. Stand still. Stick your chest out. Rub your nipples together. There you go. Perfect. All right. Looks like we're running out of steam on this show, folks. Larry, go ahead. You got to do your usual.
Hey.
Oh, bad throw. Pulled to the left. But anyway. Oh, you know what we haven't done?
Each other.
Yes. There you go. Well, especially if you don't count the treehouse when we were 12.
There you go.
Oh. Oh, la.
You're not supposed to put out childhood stories about
it. No, you know what we forgot?
Yes.
That we said we were going to get to?
What?
Bouncing titties.
Oh, the titties.
All right. All right. And as usual, we expect Phil will have another classic ending for the show as the credits roll. So, for Judo Larry N.
And Big Fat John.
Catch you next week on that riot show. Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry N. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice. And my testicles are killing me.